welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Commander Ashira of the United Forces of the Outer Galaxies is back with us today to continue our discussion of the universal laws, how we might invoke them, and what we can expect when we do. He's also been sharing with us the galactic perspective on the way things work, and it feels like another opportunity to just trust in divine order so we can get on with life as it was always meant to be. So much has been happening that it's hard to keep track, and I admit that my spaciness is becoming more pronounced while my focus continues to grow sharper and more simple as each day arrives. Perhaps we can get an update on how things are progressing, because it feels like the whole world changed since we last came on the air. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. And boy, I couldn't agree with you more. Things are moving so rapidly. It's amazing, actually. It's almost hard to keep up. And it's particularly hard to keep up when we do have this sense of sharp focus, but at the same time feeling a little spacey.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, I was trying to staple together a list of information that I'd gathered, and I spent a couple of minutes trying to staple this paper with the stapler upside down. And finally, Isaac looked at me, and it was like, oh, my.
Yeah.
But if we could just even talk for a couple of minutes about all the stuff that's happening.
Yes, yes.
In addition to, you know, what our star brothers and sisters. So just settle in for a second. We just go over the list of everything that's being sent to us.
Mm.
So, you know, the mother's gift of clarity and purity didn't stop. And I think that's part of our feeling of increased focus, the ability to really just glance at a situation, a person, or ourselves and say, okay, so that's what's going on.
Yeah.
So those gifts are continuing, along with the tsunami of love, which some people are feeling the waves very intensely. Others are making, can I say, preparatory moves. They feel some of the shifting in the sand and the changes. There's some anxiety. There's some nervousness. There's jitters. So there's that going on. Then last weekend, it feels, and that's the other thing that's happening, is that time is taking on a whole different meaning. But last weekend on our Saturday Council of Love conference call, we've been working on a project about human self-worth. As this, of course, as we all know, is the key issue in terms of us going forward, in terms of our ascension, in terms of the shift. However, you know, we all conceive of this differently. And let's face it, until we all go through that portal together, we don't really know the fullness of it. In fact, all the archangels, all the masters say, you may think you know, and we've given you some insights, but it's going to be so much more than you can even imagine. But during that conference call, Archangel Gabriel came in and was very strongly spoken and asked us to continue our work. So I wanted to share this with all of our listeners, because I think the more of us who are doing it, the more quickly we can get through this shift. Asking for all of us to, in meditation, to work on the removal of this false grid of lack of self-worth, self-love. And what was striking for me, anyway, it was the first time in sort of a public arena that the archangels had asked us literally to go to another dimension to do our work. And to me, and I, of course, have been talking to her about it, But to me, this was an indicator of how we're advancing. You know, they've been telling us, the Council of Love's been telling us, you know, you're interdimensional beings and you can move between dimensions. So the request on the part of the Council is for us to go to the first dimension and to, from that place, to eradicate the whole issue of lack of self-worth. Because she says that's where the difficulty originated, you know, thousands of years ago.
Right.
And the first dimension, when you perceive it, whether you go or you bring it in, it doesn't matter. But when you perceive it, it's like going into the void. It's very, it's darkness. It's like
right.
being in the abyss. You may see some electricity, etc. But basically, it's the dimension where ideas are born.
Mm.
And the real idea of each of us includes, of course, this wonderful element of self-worth and self-love. And it includes this ability to create, and then it moves on. But way back when, this idea of lack of self-worth got inserted into the first dimension. So what we collectively are doing in our meditation is going there and erasing it, as if you're erasing a chalkboard.
Mm.
If we can do that, and obviously we can, otherwise we wouldn't be invited to do it with the angels, the archangels, and the masters, then we are going to take such a quantum leap that if we think things are happening fast now, look out.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder that the people who are experiencing an upsurge of old patterns, which goes to lack of self-love and self-worth, if they're not seeing that pattern for themselves, what you're saying is that a group getting together to meditate for the collective release of any kind of lack of self-worth, that will affect everyone, even people who are unaware. That
we are particularly doing it for those who are unaware.
Right.
You know, what did she say? I think she called them, maybe it was unaware, reluctant, and recalcitrant. And so for all those people who, you know, who still say, oh, this is ridiculous,
right.
you know, I don't know, you're way out there or you're listening to hogwash, that if we are doing that erasure, it's going to have a huge impact. Gabrielle talked about billions, not even millions. So for us to be erasing, and I put that full channeling and the, including the audio on the Council of Love website, because which I rarely do, but because it was so powerful.
Yeah,
so,
I listened to it. It was wonderful.
Oh, thanks. Yeah,
it's great.
Every now and then it's like, okay, we all have to get together and
right.
do this work. And the other thing, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying it's not just for people who are, you know, really the totally recalcitrant, because there are plenty of light workers that are still struggling with the self-worth issue.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And you know what? Because these old patterns and are coming up, and we're talking about old patterns that are in our bodies, like physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional hurts,
yes,
or issues.
Given by our parents.
Things that were given to our to us by our parents, or things that we have carried over from even from other lifetimes.
Yes, yes, yes.
So things are coming to the surface, and if we can just remember that it's coming to the surface to be literally purged,
mm-hmm.
and just look at it as that, and that the purging doesn't have to make us sick.
Right.
It doesn't have to make us emotionally a basket case. That
right.
we can, I mean, I grew up in a time when you used to erase those blackboards, you know.
Yes.
It was such a treat if you got chosen to erase the blackboard at the or the green board at the end of the day. And that's the picture I have for myself. I'm just erasing that blackboard. And it's
yeah.
huge because it's the grid of
right.
humanity.
Right, right. Wow.
And right. the other thing I'm going to be doing to assist in that is having this little live stream, 90 minutes, live stream on the Tsunami of Love on June 8th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it'll be really fun. And this wasn't something I particularly expected to be doing, but the mother came in and, you know, within 24 hours it was up and posted and running. And, again, it's for all of us, for all light workers, love holders, but it's also for those who say, you know, I'm not really feeling it, so that they can connect in a live channeling and get the downloads. Because we know from the show and from our experiences individually and as a group or circle is that when you get a channeling, there's the information that's being shared, but then there's the download of the energy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing more powerful than a download of the energy directly from the mother. There just isn't. So that's coming up as well. So there's so much. It's just like it's, you know, it's churning. It's like the tide is coming in.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right, so are we ready for our galactic connection meditation then?
I sure am. Are you?
I am. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay.
So, everybody, first of all, begin by giving yourself a great big hug. Put your arms around your shoulders and just love yourself up. Love yourself not for who you think you should be or who you're going to be, but for the magnificent person, the gentle, tender, strong person, man and woman, that you are right now, today. And let go of all those buts. Just give yourself credit. And see yourself and feel yourself as your guides and guardian angels, the entire company of heaven sees you. That bright spark of light. Open your crown and anchor in your heart and feel that stream of white light, that most brilliant, blinding white light coming down from the heart of one, down through the great central sun, down through the gold, the lilac and the lavender, down through your brilliant violet of your crown, and filling your head, activating your pineal and your pituitary, your hypothalamus, activating fissures and hemispheres of your brain that have never been activated before. Relax and feel it coming down, down through your throat, through your center of change. And feel it expand everything as this brilliant white light is moving through you, down through your thymus, your heart, down into your halion, your solar plexus, your umbilical, your sacral, your tummy, your pelvis, your root, down into Gaia. This is like a lightning bolt of sheer energy. And feel it connect with the heart of Gaia. Now pull it up. Pull it up through the feet, through your root, back up through your lower chakras, and into your heart. Feel your heart expanding as you relax deeper and deeper into your chair, your bed, your cushion. Feel as if your heart is becoming a giant Valentine heart. And it's coming up beyond your shoulders. And it's forming that Valentine heart. And the tip of the heart is on the root chakra. And breathe that emerald green. Now dropping anchored, but dropping down from your heart, come to your halion, to your halion chakra, and carry that infinite love and light with you, because, dear hearts, it's truly who you are. It's who you've always been. Do you really think or believe that you would be so welcomed and yearned for by your star brothers and sisters if you were anything less than love? You are a delight. So come to your halion, base of your ribcage. And this is a blended color. This is your bridge to your star brothers and sisters. So feel that chakra opening, spinning. The colors are mint green and electra blue, ashen blue, French blue, electric neon blue. Feel it opening. Smell the fresh mint that's just beginning to come up in your garden. That fresh new green. That spring green. The spring green of new beginnings, new life. Because that's where we are. As one circle, and this circle includes our star brothers and sisters, our star family. So open that chakra wide, feel it spinning all the way out of the back through your spine, and out of your front, feel that energy begin to form a beautiful spiral of the blues and the mints and the emerald traveling out of your being. And your energy, your essence, your being is traveling. This is you. Not astral traveling, but bilocating. Come on. Spiral out. Up through your ceiling. Flying. Through the air, puffy white clouds, through the blue dome, into infinite space, with a gazillion stars, and the mother's cloak of midnight blue. Breathe it in and feel the freedom continuing your spiral always maintaining the connection to your body, resting back in the chair. And as you're traveling, it's like you've got a homing device within your heart. And you see, amongst the many ships, your home. What you think of as your second home, and for many of us, your first home. Key into it, take a second, scan the heavens. There you go. So direct yourself and your spiral. Traveling directly to the landing portal of your ship. Look, there's someone waiting for you. It's your star mentor. Feel yourself alighting on the landing platform. As your star mentor greets you. Look at the excitement in their eyes. Smile. The warmth of the embrace. And feel your excitement, your home. Breathe in deeply. Breathe in even before you go through the portal into the ship, because the smell, the scent of deep space is very different than the fragrance of Gaia. Breathe in. And then, with excitement and joy to see your family and friends, to relax, to simply be, you go with your mentor and friend through the doors and down the hallway to where you choose to go. And when you're ready, either at the end of the show or at the end of the day, when you choose, simply spiral back and anchor firmly in your body, but not right now. Greetings, I am Ashira, commander of the unified forces of the outer galaxies.
Welcome.
And might I say, beloved friend by now?
Yes.
Welcome. Welcome, my family, my friends, my allies, my brothers and sisters. Welcome, and thank you for inviting me back.
Always welcome.
You know, it is our pleasure as well. It is something of an occasion because we are sharing with you not only information. Yes, the information is valuable because the more you understand about us, how we think, how we live, how we operate, the better you are prepared to receive us. We have been at an advantage insofar as we have observed and chatted on the more subtle levels with all of you for many, many, many years. So it is our joy that you are saying to us and have opened the door and said, let us get to know you better. And what kinds of things do you know about that might be of value for us to also know about or comprehend or simply change our perspective in terms of how we look at something? And that is basically what this conversation that we have been having about the universal law entails. Yes, you have been and you are being seated with the universal law, but what you are also doing is in your awakening, in your very rapid progression, you are saying, well, that's all very well and good. Okay, I've got it. I've got the book. How does it work? How do I put it to work? It is like a nuclear physicist or one of your physicists who build the rocket ships. They say, okay, now I have the science. Where are my materials? Let's get busy building this baby. And that is what we are doing together. We are building not the rocket ship, but the bridge, so that you come to us and we come to you. Will we use the ships? Yes. Why would you not use what is so efficient and so readily at hand? That would not be wise, would it? And it is the same with universal law. Why would you not use what is already there and readily at hand? Now, I wish to talk about as we begin, and yes, I understand from your conversation that I will not go on and on, and I will make room for people's questions. Because we welcome your input, your queries come from your heart and your mind, and it is part of the conversation. You are saying, yes, all right, but knowing this is important to me. So of course we are open to answering your questions. We welcome your questions. But let us begin today by also speaking and using that analogy of the rocket scientist about how we as your star family often differ in terms of what we choose to create and how we use universal law. Now, we do this and we share this information not to point the way in terms of what we are asking you to create and how you will use universal laws, but perhaps to broaden the perspective on how universal law is and can be utilized. Now, there has been much discussion on this and other shows, Hour with an Angel, and references and many of your soul memories to previous intergalactic wars, and even much of the interference that was experienced on Earth, on Gaia, decades ago with what you would think of has abductions and what you termed dark forces. Now, those forces were removed about a decade ago, but it gave you not only a taste of, but it catalyzed many of your memories of ancient and more intergalactically recent wars that you have experienced. Following that devastation, there was a period where everyone got very busy. And we're talking interplanetary, intergalaxy cooperation. Everybody got very busy building, recreating, constructing, because there had been such devastation. And we witness very similar devastation, for example, upon your planet in Palestine or in Syria or the Sudan. It is abomination. It is not merely the wreckage of war. It is abomination. So if you wish to think about where we were, except on a very galactic framework, think of those places of devastation where people are trapped. There is no building, no water, no food, no shelter. And those you love are dead, destroyed. The planets you love are dead and destroyed. So then we entered the period of rebuilding. Now we began to know of universal law. But like you, we were in the primer stage. And so we used it to construct, construct, construct. But what occurred, my dear hearts, was that the tensions, the frictions, the animosities, the injuries of war had not been healed. And there was recognition, as there is on your planet, that if that was not addressed, that all the reconstruction in the world would mean nothing, because it would simply occur again and again and again. And that was the nucleus, the beginning of the Intergalactic Council. But there were many peace talks. But it was during that time that the language of Para was developed, which is non-emotional talking, factual talking, so as to not irritate one another, as well as very diligent work on how to mediate and how to communicate. So obviously there was thousands of years of evolution. Now after that was anchored, then we re-entered. And it was not that we abandoned construction and reconstruction, but there was a collective knowing that without the issues being addressed and eliminated, and many of those practices are still adhered to, both on ship and on planets, to this day. Because it is not that we never have a difference of opinion. We simply have predetermined ways of dealing with conflict. But then we entered Reconstruction, and we built many things, many superior advanced technology is the way you would think of it. We built these ships, but also as we began to build and we had this expansion of our understanding of universal law, interdimensional physics and science, we became to have greater respect for what you would think of as the blessings and virtues, the divine qualities. And we knew that none of these could be separated. So, for example, our ships, of course, are technological, wondrous feats, but they are also organic. And they tend, as the crew tends to the ship tends to the crew. The energy of the construct of our ship is in adherence to the law and to the divine qualities. So the sacred space, as you would think of it, is built in. And this is what you are going to do as you begin rebuilding your homes, your families, your communities, your cities of light, your institutions, that the qualities, the interdimensional aspects, and the divine laws are all one. So now we are expanding what we have spoken to you of. The things these days, and when I say these days, I'm talking about the last 1,000 years, that we like to create is the expansion of what you often think of as the intangible. So we will use universal law, for example, to expand the quotient of light. And we have done that coming on now to 250 years for the what you would think of as the field of Gaia, so that she is a beautiful bright pink. And we continue to bathe the planet in the pink. So this is how we use and create these days. So when we were doing that, what laws did we work with? We worked with the law of sacred purpose, because the original intent of Gaia was to be the planet of love. Now, did we interfere with the human race and with the free will of Gaia? No. But what we did by invoking the universal law is we created an environment to support what the plan was, to encourage, to nurture, to bring forth. We invoked the law of change and transmutation, so that the discordant energies, that the illusion that was so strong during, can we say, the rain, and you one day will speak in this way, the rain of the old third dimension, the distorted third dimension with all the false grids. We invoked the law of change. And, of course, we are working in this undertaking hand in hand with Sunat Kamara. We did not invoke the law of elimination for this project until very recently, because you were not ready for it. But we did invoke the law of completion So you see, it was energy for the planet and everything upon her to make the transition. Now, on a personal level, many upon our ship will invoke the law of change or intent or unification to work within their family structures so that the unity of the universe and the unity of the family, the connectedness, the love of, say, a family unit, and there is not that much difference between what we think of as a family unit and you think of as a family unit. So we would work on this so that the quotient of love, of light, and connectedness, of unity, is so strong that the bond cannot be broken. Oh, yes. You think, and you pay lip service to bonds not being broken. But in fact, human beings break bonds all the time. And it is curious to us. Now, why do we do that? Because it gives us greater joy. Nothing makes us happier than feeling that we are getting closer and closer and closer together. Yes, we do have a group mind. That is why our telepathic communication is so successful, so powerful. But in that unity is also the awe, the wonder, the appreciation, the celebration of each being's uniqueness. So it is not a matter of becoming so close that you merge into one blob. That would not be desirable at all.
Or very attractive.
No. And so we want the uniqueness to remain. But as you become closer, knowing the joy of another's heart and their knowing yours, or in moments of trouble, of hesitation, and in this way, and I am trying to make this very practical, in this way, we can send our emissaries to Earth.
Oh.
Because they are not disconnected.
Right.
So that sense of unification does not disappear. They know fully well, yes, they are on Gaia, and they are fully engaged. Well, there is some adjustment, which you know, but they are fully engaged and present, but they are in the full unity and connectedness to the group and to their family, to their beloved ones, to their best friends. So there is very practical application when you are using these laws. So what appears to be intangible, let us build the quotient of willingness to change, of the actual change, of the building of the love quotient and the unity quotient. And then the application comes in a physical, what you think of, and we do too, in a physical way. But first we go to what can make it possible. So it is not like a tradition in some countries where you are simply drafted and you are shipped out. We would never do that. So, dear heart, I have rambled. I am sorry. Do you have questions for me?
Oh, well, I do have questions, but I could listen to you forever, and there's certainly nothing to be sorry for. I just appreciate that you've come and that you're continuing to come. So thank you, and welcome. And I'm just, you know, as you're speaking, what's coming to me is that if I can mirror what I heard you say, my feeling is that if we make a study of universal law and the divine qualities, then it'll be easier for us to hold those in our hearts and just become part of them, integrate them into our very being, so that we are calling on those things in our daily lives and every decision that we make without really compartmentalizing and saying, I'm now going to use the law of change, or I'm now going to use the law of elimination. Will it not be a case when we are familiar with all these things that it will just be a natural part of our being and carrying on?
That is exactly correct. It becomes second nature. We do not want to say subconscious, but if you were to think of a layer between conscious and subconscious, where it just becomes rote, automatic,
right,
then that is it. Many of you have witnessed your mother baking a cake, and she does it within 5 minutes because she knows all the ingredients. She doesn't think about it. She just throws it all together and pops it in the oven. That is what we are talking about.
Right, exactly. And it also occurs to me that, as you're saying, that your emissaries on the planet it's easier for them to be here because you experience the group mind. I feel like that's also available to me at this time. I'm feeling connected, and it's like I feel I'm immune from harm of any kind, and I just really am not worried about anything at this point.
You have connected to the group mind, and this is not an exclusive club.
No.
So we invite all of you, because the more we are connected, you see, we are also connecting to what you think of as the human group mind, the collective group mind. Now, there is still some fragmentation in that, but we are connecting because you, collectively, have given us permission.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also part of having our emissaries on the ground, because they now are really actively part of that group mind. But yes, we also invite you. We invite you. We are giving you a golden engraved invitation to join in our group mind. Because what you do, and as these two begin to, like two clouds merging, as they merge, the telepathy is instantaneous.
Yes.
And that is what you are seeing as well.
Yes. I've even in meditations, like, welcomed the orbs that I sense around me to just come into my field, into my body, and just join with me. And I don't really know what I'm doing, but it feels good, and it feels like the thing to do. So there you have it. If I may ask a question about higher dimensions, like when we are able to finally leave the old third behind, okay, that there'll be the clean third, I guess, that we are going to still have access to. For those of us that are reaching higher dimensions, there'll be a clean third for us to interact with. I'm just wondering about parasites and bugs and things like that. My daughter just showed up with a bullseye rash, and I'm thinking that's Lyme disease and an infection. And of course, I don't want this thing here, but I'm just wondering about parasites and things like that.
The evolution of what you have come to experience on Gaia as a friction and disease between kingdoms will come to cease.
Okay.
And let us tell you why. the role of such things as the parasites have become a very powerful tool to reflect in the physical reality back to the human beings that they are out of balance with their environment.
Mm.
So they have, in fact, performed a diligent service. Now, painful? Yes.
Mm.
Necessary? Not anymore.
Mm.
And it is the belief system that there are creatures, whether it is a snake or a scorpion or a mosquito, it doesn't matter, or just an airborne parasite,
right,
or bacteria that can harm you or kill you, begins the germination of that idea is in the idea, the belief system, that you don't live on a safe planet, that you are not safe.
Right.
And so that will disappear. And also what is going to take place, no, we are not getting rid, and it would not be our place anyway, but you are not getting rid of all those creatures. Now, they may choose to travel elsewhere, but they would also like to be able to live in harmony,
mm,
so that they no longer have the desire or their belief system that their role, yes, insects have belief systems as well. And their belief is that part of their job is to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have put themselves in a position where they, in fact, are the enemy. And that is a very difficult position to occupy.
Right.
So by using the divine qualities of the ability to clear addiction to pain, or to live in peace or compassion, and then invoking the law of instantaneous transmission or transmutation, if you want to take a while longer, then what happens is the need for those insects to do harm begins to dissipate.
Mm.
Who wants to live in a golden age of the higher dimensional realms, or even what you have referred to as the third dimensional realm, where it is the same as the old?
Mm, not me.
No. So you tend to think of, as we have called it, the intangibles in terms of corruption or greed or lust or control. But there are the physical manifestations of that war that have taken place too. Think of things like the Black Plague or Legionnaire's disease or MRSA or HIV, leukemia, cancer. These are all based on beliefs and ideation.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
So you are just beginning to work, as are the kingdoms, because they have already gone to the higher dimensions.
Okay.
So you can think of the tick that that bit your beloved one as a recalcitrant.
Okay. All right. We'll work on the tick then. I don't know where it is anymore, but...
Oh, do not worry about it. Simply work on the releasing of the disease.
Okay. All right. I have an interesting question from a younger listener asking if they ought to hold off for a couple of years on engaging in relationship with another human in anticipation of establishing sacred partnership with Galactic.
Heck no.
No.
And I tell you, you have a saying that makes a great deal of sense. I have shared a bit of the history of the intergalactic course. My dear friend, practice makes perfect.
Okay.
So no, and you do not know that the supposed human being that you engage with, that you do not have a soul contract with them, that there is not a lesson to be learned that will result in expansion for both of you, and that they may be a galactic.
Okay.
So don't assume anything. No, never close your heart. If your heart is saying, I think I can love you, then go for it.
Beautiful. Love that answer. All right. What kinds of things would you all like to be invited to participate in?
Dinner, conversation, walks in the woods, sitting in the garden, sitting in the living room and chatting, meditation, deep meditation, anything that is involving interface, even a smile in the supermarket to us is huge.
Yeah.
So if you start issuing the invitations, now you may see us very clearly, or you may simply say the house is full.
Yeah, exactly.
You will know.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. Are there many of you who plan on having an extended stay on Earth, or are most just wanting to go home?
No. Most of us are planning an extended stay on Earth.
Yay.
We want to participate. We have waited, as I have said, thousands of years for this unfoldment. Now, will we be back and forth to our ships? Because we have no intention of not maintaining. And they are useful because many of you will wish to go exploring in the far reaches. And there is no need to develop for Earthlings to develop their own ships when ours are available. So yes, most of us want to see and have this experience of being on your beautiful planet. And we do not come until that invitation was issued. And by the way, it has been issued.
Yes, yes, yes. Ah, oh, beautiful. Well, of course, I have lots more questions, but we're sort of out of time. And if you have anything to close, I guess now's the time, and I hope you're willing to come back.
I would be honored to return. Now, my beloved friends, think of the law as your dictionary, as your thesaurus, and use it. And invite us, because we are inviting you to join with us. I give you the love not only from my heart, but from all of our hearts.
I feel it. And I love you so, and I'm so glad to be part of this discussion. Thank you.
You are welcome. Farewell.
Farewell.